Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we were talking at the confirmation class about the return of the people from exile in Babylon, and how for 400 years after the prophet of Malachi, there weren't any prophets. As our Old Testament reading that Wendy read said today, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. The word of the Lord was scarce. How was it for you this week? Was the word of the Lord scarce in your life this week? Did you get up every morning and open those portals of prayer first thing and read them? Or was the word of the Lord scarce? We didn't have women's Bible study on Wednesday. Usually I go to that. It was second week of the month, so we didn't have that. And gosh, you know, we had the Saturday family breakfast Bible study, but it got canceled. I went to a pastor's conference, a circuit conference, on Wednesday morning. In fact, we hosted it here at Holy Cross. And I made up a nice devotion that we just kind of got talking and talking and we never got to. Pastors! Was the word of the Lord scarce in your life this week? Think about it. You know, silence can be awkward. Especially when you expect it to be filled with some sound. You know, we went to a concert last night for my wife's birthday, and, you know, there are rest notes, and there are moments that are you expect there to be silent, and, you know, the band, like, you know that. It's like you just hit the note at the right time. But then when it doesn't come and you're waiting for it, it's like, okay. Or you're waiting for the rest of the story and it doesn't get there and it's like, okay. That's the way it was for the children of Israel when they're waiting for the word of the Lord. That's the way it was for Samuel and Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Where is it? Where's God's promises? I want to hear God's promises. That's why you came here today. How is it with you? Is there silence? Silence can be a good thing. Silence is golden, they say sometimes, right? Silence can be a good thing. So I was thinking about silence this week. There's this passage in Revelation chapter 8, Revelation 8, verse 1. The seventh seal was broken, and there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Whoa. What was going on? Couldn't be a bad thing, because it's going on in heaven. What's going on when the Lord is about to restore the heavens and the earth? And in fact, it's like an awesome silence. Like something good is going to happen. Something totally awesome is going to happen. And everyone's just silently in awe, waiting for it to happen. It's like a holy silence. Silence a lot better than when I was just kind of standing up there earlier. pretty awesome silence. But then there's also silence in our lives that isn't so good, right? You ever been given the silent treatment? My mom used to say, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. So if I don't say anything, how was the dinner, honey? That's not good silence, is it? That's when I'm cooking. Silence isn't good when it's the absence of the Word of God. So for 400 years after the prophet Malachi, it seemed like it was silent. The voice of the Lord was rare in those days. It was quiet. And then comes John the Baptist, the last prophet. The last prophet, and the one that doesn't really have a vision, he has a finger that points to this Jesus. Jesus comes on to the scene, and the Word of God made flesh, incarnate, shatters the silence. The silence of God that seems like a deafening silence, because it's like we're abandoned, we're given the silent treatment by God, and you know what that means. Is shattered by God Himself, who comes in human flesh. And He comes, wow, it's not like shattering the silence. Does He come with a loud voice and a trumpet like He's going to on the last day? Or does He come silently? Silent night, we say, right? He comes as a baby, born in a manger, a donkey stall. That's how He comes. More like that still small voice that Elijah heard. And He breaks the silence as only He can. He comes to Philip and Nathaniel, John and John, Peter and Andrew. And He says to Philip, follow me. And He does. He becomes a follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. And what does He show him? And he says to Nathaniel, I love this. Nathaniel says, Nathaniel says to Philip, by the way, you see, Eli explains to Samuel, you know, listen to the Lord and say, speak, Lord. Your servant hears. That's what Eli says to Samuel. That's what we say to each other. It's kind of what Philip says to Nathaniel. You know, listen to this guy. Come and see. You've got to see this guy. Jesus of Nazareth, the one we've been waiting for. And what does Nathaniel say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Apologies to those of you who used to go to Nazareth Lutheran Church. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Buffalo? Yes. Yes. Come and see. Come and see. And so Jesus speaks to Nathanael and said, before Philip talked to you, I saw you. I knew you. You were the one sitting under the fig tree. I knew you then. And Nathanael says, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And Jesus says, ha, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see, you know, with apologies to Bachman Turner Overdrive, I'm not going to sing it. You ain't seen nothing yet. Maybe you guys can sing it. Maybe later. You ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see the Son of Man, which is a reference to the end times, Revelation if you want. You're going to see the Son of Man and angels ascending and descending on Him. You're going to see awesome things. Nathanael, just wait. And so Jesus comes and lives a life with Philip and Nathanael. And for a couple of years, they walk around. And what does Jesus do? He shows them, he raises people from the dead. He heals people. And he explains to them what God's plan is for them. And they're like, oh, I don't get it, Lord. Uh-huh, you will. And then this God made flesh takes them to Jerusalem. And they share a dinner together, a Passover dinner. And he says to them, I'm giving you this bread. It's my body. It's given for you. It's broken for you. And I'm giving you my blood, which is a new covenant. Prophet Jeremiah, talk about prophets. Prophet Jeremiah said, there will be one who comes to give you a new testament, a new covenant. And Jesus says, this is the new covenant and it's in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, your sins. Talk about shattering the silence. And then this Jesus, who Philip and Nathanael are enthralled with, is killed on a cross. Sometimes in your life you kind of wish he had the silence. Sometimes when you're reading from Paul, 8th chapter of Paul, or the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, flee from sexual immorality. God's word points us to the sin in our lives. Sometimes we wish we had the silence. Or the silent treatment's better. At least you're not accusing me. Your word isn't convicting me of who I really am. But God shatters that silence too. It's a word of forgiveness. A word that says, I have a promise for you. And it's for you to live a forgiven life. For you to live in grace and mercy. And truth. And if you've been living in the silence of God's Word, and you're without God's Word, and it seems like your life doesn't have any purpose or any meaning, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know how I got here, I don't know who I'm going to do anything with now. I can't hear your voice, Lord. He's got a message for you. And his message is, I came for you. Philip and Nathanael and Jeff. I came for you. To die on a cross for you. To be raised from the dead for you. Because that is your future. That is your promise as a baptized Christian. That is where you're going to live. You're going to see greater things than these. You ain't seen nothing yet. He comes to us in our everyday lives. In our dreary lives where we sometimes wonder, okay, well, is it going to rain today or is it going to be snowy today? He comes and says, I, the Lord of wind and snow and rain, come to you to give you eternal life through my Son, Jesus Christ, to raise you from the dead, to give you a life and a purpose from this time forth and even forevermore. So someday soon, there's going to be a silence in heaven. 30 minutes, give or take. It's going to be an awesome silence. Really, there's no better word to say than awesome. And then it will be broken. And it will be broken by more than a baby's cry. It will be broken by the Son of God, who gives you Himself for the world, so that you may live with Him for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles.